down.
Gloria, how long have you been around?
I've been here for 14 years now.
And so you oppose the laws that criminalize people sitting on the sidewalk within 14 feet of a building?
I do. I oppose that.
And you oppose the police arresting people for chalking on the sidewalk in a race?
Chalk is not a harmful substance. It really is, washes off. It's not a bad thing. I wouldn't want anybody painting on the sidewalks, you know, or on the windows, but the chalk is really harmless. I don't see any problem with that.
You don't think the police should have taken away this man in handcuffs for being at a political table?
Well, I wasn't here, but if it was a political table...
The problem was he was here for more than an hour. That was their claim.
I don't think that's right. I think we all should have a right to say what we want to say. This is becoming a fascist country.
I agree. Thank you.
Thanks, Gloria.
Thank God we're well protected. There could be a riot at any moment, folks. Two squad cars, double parked. A lieutenant, a sergeant. Is it a terrorist incident? No, it's a man with a table, a political table, that Jackson Shoes and Pacific Trading Company doesn't like. Well, that's a good reason to have seven cops down here, isn't it?
Are you in speech going out of control?
It's now about 10 to 4. So it's now nearing 4 o'clock, and Officer Pollock is still doing guard duty in front of the Pacific Trading Company. And Officer Young is guarding Jackson's Shoes. There may be a run on shoes in Jackson's Shoes. Then we have another officer leaning against a double parked car, blocking a line of traffic, and with a police motorcycle behind him.
Well, he's fired from standing around. These guys have to take breaks in place.
And the lieutenant is holding up a lamppost across the street there. I'm glad to see that we have well-employed police officers in Santa Cruz. I mean, I was worried that they might be wasting taxpayer money down here, but I'm pleased to see that isn't the case. Thank you. Let's hear it for the police. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you so much. Just kidding. So I'm going to start pointing out the people who've gotten harassment tickets in the last 2 months. Raise your hand if you've been harassed by the police in the last 2 months. Raise your hand if you've had a harassment ticket in the last 2 months. That's only about 8 people. I mean, it seems like a smattering. Probably hardcore criminals, right?
12 people here.
Mine was for chalking.
Table and I was moved along.
Well, yeah, but you were probably doing the wrong kind of politics. In Santa Cruz, if you do the right kind of politics, the police won't really move you along. Or perhaps you'll kind of go along with it, because that's the way to do it in Santa Cruz.
No, we're the right one.
Boycott the Pacific Trading Company. Boycott Jackson's Shoes. Boycott businesses that use the police to harass people for basic rights. We had a table out here. We were just informing the community of what the Pacific Trading Company did, which is to get the city to spend $6,600 to remove seating here because they don't want undesirables. They retaliate. And I think the community needs to know this and needs to act on it. So don't do business with bigotry downtown. And when the budget comes up and the police department wants more funding, you might give a call to the mayor and say, you really support this kind of police activity downtown. I mean, I do. I'm glad that we have police removing our petitions and our tables. I mean, I'm not even sure. I mean, probably I was being a bad boy and I didn't even know it.
I get tossed away.
Videoing from the side.
I might get washed away or thrown in jail, one or the other, huh? To the waves, cause I'm a piece of driftwood, huh? Passing through.
It may be time to set up another table. I'll be right back. Excuse me?
Would you like to sign a citation?
No, that's your job. Are you only do it for corporations?
private business interests.
Officer Pollock is refusing to enforce the law against younger people, insisting that citizens cover for him. We have two young girls sitting, leaning against private property, or sitting against private property. Yeah, that's good, in front of the Pacific Trading Company. So we are reduced to a makeshift table here, folks, because the police have stolen our table. However, if you have any ironing you want done, we're here.
It's an ironing board.
Yeah, on the streets. Actually, I'm not going to set this up. Somebody else should set it up. And actually, I'm not sure who... Ray, who set up this table, this ironing board right now? Did I do it or did somebody else? I wasn't thinking.
Wasn't you, Robert. Wasn't you.
It wasn't me. I didn't do it. We have Sergeant Baker standing, as one would imagine, in the doorway of the Pacific Trading Company, as he used to sit at Sushi Now or Alibaba's Cafe, communing with his friends in the business world. And we still have a lieutenant holding up the lamppost across the street over there. I'm not quite sure what crime is requiring this kind of analysis, but I'm sure the lieutenant can tell us.
And I'm referring here to Lieutenant Spall, but it looks like we have an incoming call. Hi there, you're on Free Radio.
Hello, Robert.
Hey, Tom Noddy. I hope you've given up your juggling ways.
No, I've... I never much had a way with juggling. I can't, among the kids in the living room, it's one of those little parlor tricks like snatching the kid's nose at the quality of juggler that I am. But it was good enough.
Really good enough to merit police attention.
That's what happened down there. Of course, the ordinance that outlaws juggling... would also outlaw tossing the car keys to your friend.
Wouldn't it also outlaw pouring coffee? There's something about actually, I read the ordinance before, and what it says specifically is, no person shall, after being notified by a law enforcement officer that he or she is in violation of the prohibition on the section, shall, in the community commercial, neighborhood commercial, beach, central business, tourist, residential districts, intentionally throw, discharge, launch, or spill any solid object, including but not limited to footballs, hacky sacks, baseballs, beach balls, frisbees, or other similar devices, or liquid substance, with the exception of bubble street performers who otherwise comply with all applicable statutes and ordinances, or otherwise cause any object or substance to be thrown, discharged, launched, spilled, or to become airborne. So I'm not sure if that would cover pouring coffee and sneezing. I'm working on that. What do you think?
I know it's absurd, and I know that you're intentionally being absurd. But it is an interesting factor in this. Of course it could. It could be read to outlaw pouring coffee. It could be read to outlaw. This is after your warning. I mean, so it's not just going to happen to the first guy that pours his coffee. The cops would come and warn you not to pour coffee. They're not going to do that, and they sort of know that, and so they intentionally built a law that gives them some leeway to call these things. When I told them this could be applied against jugglers a year ago when this law was proposed, when I told city council members, the police downtown could apply this against jugglers, they said, Tom, don't be absurd. This doesn't outlaw juggling. I can't see how a cop could not. I suggested that they said they're not going to go out there after jugglers, Tom. I wondered if they would, if they would actually ever go that far in Santa Cruz, or they actually, I'll bet there are other laws that they could use against juggling. But if they give them the law and this current mood, they actually believe, the police and the hosts believe, that there's a culture war going on right now, and they believe that they are on one side of it. The merchants or at least the merchants who have spoken up so far, believe that there's a culture war going on downtown right now and that they're on one side of it. And they'll use whatever laws, you know how they went after Al Capone with tax evasion charges. They'll use whatever laws happen to be available to accomplish whatever they think is the purpose. They right now believe that the community has agreed that we should be going after the street performers. They long ago believed that the community agreed that we really want to get rid of the panhandlers downtown. So they're using whatever laws they have. And when the council joined that effort, I questioned at the time whether they were consciously joining it, but, some of that question is fading for me. Joined the efforts to reinforce the idea that there is a culture war, that certain people are undesirable in our public lives, that they should be driven from the area, and if we make them uncomfortable with every law that could be used, if this one is walking too fast, I'll bet there's a law against walking too fast. If this one is, blocking the sidewalk by walking too slow, I'll bet we could, I mean, it doesn't matter hardly what the law says. Something could be found. You ever look at the size of the laws? I mean, if you comb through that, looking for ways to prevent whatever somebody's doing, there's something wrong with juggling. There's something wrong with walking down the street.
Tom, it's interesting because I know that we're planning to start serving food downtown fairly soon in front of the Pacific Trading Company. It could be that the coffee servers may find themselves vulnerable under this discharge of fluids law. I mean, after all, it is, you cannot allow an object or substance to be discharged, launched, spilled, or become airborne. I guess, briefly, coffee is airborne when you pour it. I guess we could have people suck their coffee through straws. That might be considered a private venue. What do you think, Tom?
I think that the absurdity that you're reaching toward is not much more absurd than what... some of them have been reaching toward in an effort to just make them uncomfortable downtown. They do mean you, Robert. They would love to have you not, be a regular denizen of the downtown. And now they do mean people who are down there for the purpose of entertaining children.
Although we have to cite a minor victory last night, which we're going to be playing some more about. A marimba band was able to play for 2 hours, even though they were in clear violation of the move-along law, across from O'Neill's, at O'Neill's Surf Shop Plaza area, if you know where I mean, at the 709. And additionally, I wanted to let you know, Tom, that you are going to be featured, one of the feature video folk, that we're going to be playing tomorrow in front of the Pacific Trading Company. We're going to be playing a video of your fine, if somewhat tentative, juggling act in front of the hosts, where you were actually, we don't have your arrest on tape because you didn't have a video journalist with you all day for that particular event. Any chance of giving us kind of an update? Because the last people listening to this show heard, you were, we heard you announcing in front of the hosts, that you were juggling and then asking a host or two, is this juggling? Is juggling legal? And the host kind of saying, no comment, and one host saying, well, you're a street performer, a bubble performer, a bubble street performer, that's the phrasing that Ed Porter apparently put into the law, and therefore there was a confusion, but I wonder if you can give us the story as it kind of unveiled from there for those of us who are kind of following your adventures.
Okay, well, let me set it up for those who hadn't until now. They passed this law. Really, what they very consciously were doing last year in the body of laws that they were passing in response to the fevered sentinel frenzy that the community was willing to support the merchants because they apparently were being besieged by. If one read the sentinel, they understood that there were junkies stabbing people downtown. There was gangbangers just rampaging up the street. And
what about the terrorists, Tom? Let's not forget the terrorists.
And the poor downtown merchants, just, what the biggest problem for them was? There weren't enough laws. That was the problem. That's why gangbangers were running from Cinema 9 down this way with the other gangbangers. This is an actual incident. Something really did happen. Some South County gang and some other gang, and they saw each other and they encountered each other down coming from the movies. They're not guys that hang downtown. They went to a movie. But anyway, this thing happened, and so the Sentinel reported it as another example of the big downtown problems. It apparently wasn't a problem for the, you know, some other area when it happened out there. You know, if they met each other in Davenport, they would have done the same thing, but it wouldn't be the big Davenport problem. But here it was the downtown problem, because really the Sentinel was up to something else. They meant, let's do a crackdown downtown on panhandling and people hanging around, you know. I actually, well, okay, so they had a series of ordinances that they proposed to address this awful, bloody activity that was going on, and they had to deal with moving panhandlers around where they were permitted, when they were permitted to do, in what manner they were permitted to do it at all, and then they roped in street performers in the same process, moving them out 10 foot, no 14, no over here, no, you can't do that. And they passed some ordinance, a series of ordinances about street performers, and the other problem that they noted was hacky sackers. They're like 4 or 5 teens in a circle kicking this little foot bag. You can't touch it with your hands, but otherwise you keep it alive. It's a live little teenage game going on. And there was, I think, a legitimate concern that sometimes an activity like that would take up a big part of the sidewalk, and some older person would be afraid of getting too close to these running, jumping, yelling, hey, kids, you know. So rather than look for a way to address that activity, they have ways. They said they have a mountain of law books. There's something wrong with doing that, I'll bet. Find some way to tell the hacky guy, hey, take it over there, take it back behind, go to the parking lot. Something like they could do that. But instead, they passed a hacky sack specific law, which I don't think they actually needed. But then they got carried away while they were at it because, you know, they were like, this is what they do.
Tom, let me interrupt you briefly. Hacky sacking, it seems to me that there were alternate approaches that, you know, could still be used instead of these laws, which kind of take a cue from your voluntary street performers guidelines, which worked for 23 years.
Yeah, well, whether or not the voluntary guidelines approach was needed,
My particular suggestion would be that, you know, but mainly it is a matter of respect. You go talk to the hacky sackers like people, you say, you know, people have a lot of trouble passing through this area. I wonder, is it possible you can move this slightly over a bit for a little while? If there were a different attitude...
Yeah, I'm even up with, you know, being a little bit stronger. Sometimes teenage boys need their uncles or somebody else to say, hey, man, hey, watch out, you know, let the old lady sit in the chair. What's the matter with you? You know, I'm okay with, you know, being a little more direct. I don't think they needed a law to do it. I think it was crazy that they went shopping to, because the legislators, why would they go to the city council with these things? I mean, it's crazy. Why don't we sit down as a community some other way than with our legislators? What are these, the wise men and women of the tribe or something? Why do everyone, when the surfers and the kayakers have a problem, why are they talking to the city council? These are legislators. They're presumably they're experts at making laws. Their whole thing is to make laws. Laws isn't the way to deal with everything that happens in our society.
They did pass these laws in July. They changed them slightly in September. They came back in January with the move-along law, and at a certain point, I've already explained to the audience about an hour ago that you heard the city attorney state, and you've reviewed recently and confirmed that he was asked the question by Christopher Crone, actually initiated by you, does the move-along law, which I'm going to read in a moment, apply to jugglers?
No.
No?
No, not the move-along law.
I'm sorry, not the move-along law. Apply to jugglers? The law about...
The hacky sack law, though, yes.
The hacky sack law. And he said...
Actually, what Christopher Crone asked was, will these ordinances, there were a whole set of ordinances, and so really the one that, of those ordinances that clearly did and could be read in a way that would outlaw juggling, he was referring to the one that you read, 9.2.
Right, yeah, quite right. You correct me on the move along. But you asked that question. The reason I'm kind of rushing on this, because we did talk about it before. I wanted to get past this and kind of get on to the current situation. And also... draw to your attention a communication you wrote to the city council on June 7th about Corey Langham. And rather than read, I think, your very well-written letter, perhaps you could briefly describe that.
Right. So the city attorney said that juggling would not be outlawed by this ordinance, this anti-hacky sack law. And then I was downtown and I saw a clown, red nose, you know, kind of pulling out his props and setting himself up over by O'Neill's, big widest part of the sidewalk downtown, good spot. He had his juggling balls, his juggling pins, his musical stand, comet prop for clowns, you know, and his unicycle, and he kind of had these things laid out. He was clearly preparing to do a show, and I went, oh, cool, I'll watch this. And yeah, somehow it was just so sweet. Little families, touristy families walking by with little children. They were just adored the idea that they were going to be entertained for free like this downtown. And it just felt so nice and so sunny and so Sunday and so pleasant that I just had a feeling that the police would be along to stop this from happening. And so I took out my notebook and started noting everything that was around, what his props were, what was happening. And then after 10 minutes, I saw one of the downtown hosts, Avery, come by and stand and observe as the guy got on his unicycle, but he got out on the street rather than put it on the sidewalk. And he did, in fact, for a moment juggle, and he did balance his music stand on his chin, and he walked a little rope thing. Avery walked away. 10 minutes after that, a police officer back home came by and stopped the performance while these children just kind of waited for the clown to come back to them. He was involved with the police officer, and she and I stood really close. I assumed they chased me away. They didn't. And I took notes. It turns out she explained that juggling is illegal in Santa Cruz. I knew it wasn't the case. I knew I was there when the city attorney was asked that question. But she believed, it is pretty understandable to me, she saw the law that the city council had come up with, which everybody was told was an anti-hacky sack law, and she read it to mean juggling. Well, so did I a year ago, but, she wasn't there when the city attorney said, I know it looks like it, but he didn't say this, but it looks exactly like an anti-juggling law, but it is not. City attorney is the one who gets to say.
But Tom, let me interrupt you here because we've actually talked about this on the air before. You've given this prolegomena. I think it's a very important background for people to know. Isn't it likely that this matter had been discussed with her by her superiors? That, in fact, they had made a very specific decision that juggling was illegal, that she didn't just come up with this by reading the law herself. I mean, we don't know this. I'm speculating. What do you think?
I don't know.
Me neither. But I think, seriously, that before she went after a juggler, she would probably have asked her sergeant. She's only a CSO, and she gives out lots and lots of tickets on this issue. She probably asked Sergeant Baker or maybe Officer Bynes or even somebody higher. And again, I haven't got any information, but I suspect it wasn't quite as innocent as you suggest. I suggest it may not have been that innocent, that there may have actually been a policy in place. And I suggest further that your investigation into this, which involved calling the city manager's office and talking to council members, which you've talked about on the air before, and I'm going to abbreviate that by saying you talked to council members and they said juggling, oh, we're glad to hear juggling is not a crime because you looked at the tape and you found out that the city attorney advised the mayor, then Mayor Cronin, it wasn't, and the whole council, all this was being passed, and that's the legislative intent that it not be for juggling. But then suddenly you got a phone call from Assistant City Manager Martine Bernal the night before you began your career of crime, right?
That's right, yes. I had a call. I tried to get contact him earlier in the day and ask, is it straight yet? The mayor indicated to me that you guys were going to get it straight, that this law would not apply to jugglers. And is that straight yet? I just wanted somebody in city administration. I actually went to city attorney's office, but he wasn't in. So then I went to city hall, and I tried to get them, and they gave me Brunel. They said it first, but then Brunel was in a meeting, so they gave me somebody from the resource developer. What the hell is going on? I just wanted somebody in the city to tell me that they believed that it was or was not legal to juggle downtown.
What Martine Bernal did when he called you at, was it 9 or 10 o'clock at night, an unusual time, he called to give you this special good word. What did he tell you?
He told me that the city attorney had informed him that, yes, juggling has been outlawed in Santa Cruz. Apparently for a year, it's been against the law. I don't know why they didn't enforce, and now they were enforcing. There aren't a lot of juggling things going on downtown. There's so much trouble about street performing in general that we're not attracting some of the best acts right now. So his word was, yes, despite what the city attorney said last year when they were trying to pass the law, the city attorney now says that that juggling has become illegal by the passing of that law. He told the city council that it was not. If they hadn't passed it, I actually wanted him to be asked because I believed he was going to tell them what I thought, which is the same thing that the officer thought, which is that this reading, this wording, would make juggling illegal. I agree with the cops. Whether it was a high level, whether it was a low level, I agree with the cops. You read that wording, surely juggling is illegal. And I just needed the city attorney to tell that to the city council members because they were about to pass it thinking it wouldn't make juggling illegal. I don't know where they got that idea.
Instead, the city attorney...
So I needed the city attorney to tell them that this will make juggling illegal. Mm-hmm. I thought, if he did that, and I still think, had he done that, that I would have had 4 votes to stop that train. That train was moving so fast and so hard, they were going to drive across. They'd already done 1 reading of it. They had a big hurry, and they were about to do the 2nd reading. This thing was about to become law, and these city council people didn't even know that they were outlawing juggling,
and
for Christ's sake, and doing a dozen things at the same time, but including outlawing juggling at this moment. I needed the city attorney to shock them by telling them this would outlaw juggling.
But he didn't do that. Instead,
he did the exact opposite. He told them it would not outlaw juggling. I lost my opportunity to stop the making of this law. I would have had 4 votes.
Right.
He prevented that with his political maneuver. If he really didn't mean it, then it was a political maneuver. It accomplished his goal perfectly. It got the thing to go, and it kept the momentum moving, and they went ahead with the other stuff that they were doing. My political maneuver, I don't think that's a criticism. Mine was to stop the momentum of the whole thing by shocking them into finding out how fast they had gone, how far, that you were on the verge of making juggling illegal. And I would get 4 votes if only he would tell them the truth, which was that this law would outlaw juggling. Instead, he told them no.
Yes.
They passed it.
You were denied your opportunity to, in essence, get that 4th vote. And also, all of us were really denied an adequate public process because for the first time that I've ever seen, they held 4 council meetings in 2 weeks in the month of late June and early July and passed this thing, like, as you say, a freight train. Having passed it, you then, you know, we had a situation where I didn't see them go after jugglers for about a year. Then you saw this incident with, I guess, Corey Langham.
Mm-hmm.
It was a man, right?
Yeah, Corey.
And then you drew this attention to the city manager and the city council, and then you learned suddenly on Wednesday night last week, this last week, that it was still illegal, that was the city attorney.
That's right. The city attorney intended to justify what had happened to Corey Langham.
So is this what drove you to start embarrassing yourself by throwing lemons up and down in the avenue? I mean, is that what happened then?
Yes, that all counts. Yes, it was embarrassing because if my juggler friends actually ever see the quality of my juggling that led to this much hubbub, they're going to almost insist that it was a justified bust.
So I know that I saw you there in front of the host center doing some juggling. You certainly did it better than I could have, I'll say that.
Yeah, well, I can do a shower, I can do a cascade, I can do over the top, umbrella, a couple of things. I have a couple of things. If you don't really know jugglers, I can impress the kids in the parlor.
You did bring out the traveling puppets briefly, and I think they even had a brief statement. You, of course, did the traveling puppets many, many years ago when you were traveling with the puppets.
That's right, and Mousy was there. Mousy spoke for a little while, and I did some things with Bubbles. It was too windy for my act. I really want to gather a crowd with my bubble act, which is legal, oddly, and then do something with the puppets, and then highlight it. Bring the finale to my show would be juggling.
And you had several street performers watching you, who were part of the group that was concerned about the restrictions on street performing last January, but I haven't seen them out on the streets much since then. But hopefully they will come out again. And you also had 2 reporters, Sarah Phelan and Dan White of the print media, and you had, I guess, what was the channel, was it 46 or 2? Or
yeah, 46.
46 was
K-I-O-N.
There, videoing you and asking stupid questions.
They ran a piece that night. You didn't get it, did you?
Sorry?
You didn't see that piece on K-I-O-N, did you?
I didn't see it. No, I don't have a television. At least, I don't have access to that.
I was in jail.
And you were in jail, so I understand you were in isolation in jail as well.
Yeah, that's right.
But, I've already mentioned on the air that...
Oh, he laughs.
Well, I laugh ruefully, I tell you. I've been placed in similar situations in jail as well, so it's not so much fun. And particularly when you're there for 13 hours, I'd like to talk to you about that, too, if you feel like talking about it. That's up to you. But I know that you were you were in front of the host center. We all hung around from 2 to 3, and then we disappeared. And then what happened? Because it looked like you were okay. It looked like they were going to let you juggle.
Yeah, right. Well, actually, you know, then I did some big bubbles for a while, and I really did have a crowd, you know. You missed that, I think. So, and then nothing, you know, and then I was really were little kids going by, amazed to see a bubble bigger than they were. It was just, you know, kind of a nice, it's been a long time, truly, since I was performing on the streets much. And, you know, for many years I did in Santa Cruz before I got the Tonight Show, and then I started getting other gigs and stuff. But I really like it. It's a sweet place. These people come down, and I like to kind of spring entertainment. It's a wonderful thing about street performing. People didn't come to see you, really. I mean, even if they came to Pacific Avenue knowing that there's street entertainment there, really they didn't come to see you. It's not like a concert. Just they're walking in the middle of their lives, and this magic happens to them. And then they go away, and you know, it's just this thing like happened between the bakery and the clothing store. You know, something happened to them. I just love that. So I got a little taste of that for a while that day.
And something happened to you then.
Something happened to me. Yeah, I kind of packed up my stuff, you know. There was nobody there. Now the host had closed the building. I mean, I was really, okay, kind of, you know, poured out my bubble. All right, so, you know, I packed it all up and walked up the sidewalk looking to see if there was a cop around. Come on, because they're going to bust the next juggler. What are they doing? They're ignoring me because the press is watching. They're ignoring me because I've got some attention. I wanted them to pay attention to me. That was my purpose in being out there, not so that I could get arrested, but so that I could highlight this issue. If they're not going to arrest me, that's fine, as long as it means that they're not going to be arresting jugglers. They're not going to be chasing jugglers away with the threat of arrest. But that isn't, I didn't get any kind of assurance in that at all. So I walked up the sidewalk looking for and found.
You got a repeated no comment from the hosts, right?
Yeah, well, the hosts aren't anything, Robert. Yeah, they're like this exaggerated little, I mean, they're like untrained police with no, they've given this kind of like warning power now, and I see in today's paper they're thinking about giving them some further sort of a police
Was there
role.
An article in today's paper?
Mm-hmm.
Was there an article in today's paper?
No. Sentinel hasn't yet mentioned the fact that juggling is illegal, or that the reporter witnessed this event take place, or that they arrested anyone for doing it. The Sentinel readers have no idea.
You may remember that Dan White and I had a little colloquy while you were having your demonstration.
Was that a colloquy?
Of a sort. Rather a caustic colloquy, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Dan White, I sort of mentioned, here's Dan White, and
Dan White is the reporter for the Sentinel.
What?
Dan White, the reporter for the Sentinel.
That's correct. Dan White, the reporter for the Sentinel, and the odds are there'll be nothing in this story tomorrow. We'll see what spin he puts on it. He was outraged. He said, how can you question my professional integrity? And he went through this rather interesting rap, which I played on the air on Thursday. He insisted it was privileged, and I couldn't play it. And I said, Dan, you're in public, and I'm reporting on the scene. You're part of the report. The failure of the Sentinel to make these kinds of reports is relevant. So anyway, you were putting your stuff away. You were wondering where the police were when suddenly, thank God, a police officer arrived.
Well, suddenly I took my things. I walked away. I was finished. I went over, and there she was by Borders trying to talk to some people who were sitting out on the benches.
Talk to the people. Is that your way of saying move them along?
I don't think so. They were engaged in some conversation. She apparently knew them. They were kidding and joshing with her.
And
I put my bag down really quick. I took out the three lemons. She looked over at me, and I juggled the lemons. She said, oh, no, you're not going to do this. I said, yeah, absolutely. Better me than the next juggler, you know, when nobody's paying attention. She said, you want me to write you a citation? I said, no, I want to juggle. And she said, but you know I'm going to write you a citation. Yeah, that's right. She said, okay, this is your warning. Don't juggle. I said, okay. And I continued to juggle. And then she said, are you going to be signing this citation? I said, no. Is she going to make me take you down to the magistrate? I am. And so she called her superior, and he
Who
came.
Who was her superior?
Flippo.
Sergeant Flippo, yes.
Sergeant Flippo. And they both came, and they were both polite. They both understood what I was doing. They both tried to talk me out of doing it. They both,
Did they assure you they wouldn't be harassing any other jugglers if you didn't do it?
No, they didn't do that. No. They assured me that theirs was not the position where these decisions are made.
They were just following orders.
So I juggled. So they took me. They indicated that here is your citation. Will you sign it? I will not. Okay. Then we'll go to the magistrate. Okay. And they were really nice. They gave me a chance to go get my car, put my stuff away, or they would take me in their car, whichever I preferred. I didn't think that went through very well.
Unlike Steve Argue, who they took in handcuffs away and gave him no such option, by the way, Tom.
Yeah, well, actually, I chose poorly. I ended up bringing my car to the county lot and putting it there, and then going into a judge who was just rude, who then...
Are you saying Judge Barton, Michael Barton, was rude? I want you to repeat that, because I don't think that that kind of slander of our judicial system should allow to be unchallenged.
He apparently was uninterested in the purpose of somebody asking to be brought to a magistrate, which, as I understand it, the reason I was there was to ask him to give the police a quick idea of whether or not they had probable cause to be acting on this law.
Did you make that request with him?
He wouldn't let me do that.
So what was the nature? He wouldn't even allow you to just get out of sentence?
He informed me that the entire reason that we are going to speak at all is for me to tell him whether or not I intend to sign this thing, this citation. And I said, well, I would like to speak to something else. He said, okay, but you're not going to have that opportunity. You will tell me whether you're going to sign this, yes or no. And I made another attempt, and he said, it's not going to happen. Are you signing this? And then I said, no. And then he told me, you know, how not good for me it is if I don't, and how it's exactly the same end result will be that, you know, I will either sign it or not sign it, and the only thing that happens is I get some court date later on in front of some traffic judge who's not going to, you know, who's going to give me, he said, then my opportunity, you know. And I said, well, there's something else I'd rather talk to. He said, yes, whatever, constitutional, it's unconstitutional, or, you know, some, he wasn't impressed, apparently, with the Constitution. But it was not going to be something we were going to discuss here. Neither the Constitution nor whatever else it was that I wanted to do.
Well, probable cause hearings is of course, the reason for the taking me to a magistrate provision, I believe. That's what I've always understood. Apparently, Judge Barton has a different understanding. Huh?
Apparently.
Huh. And, you know, it's interesting because Judge Danner, before whom Steve Argue was taken, admittedly, in handcuffs while you were able to walk in, simply, you know, I think he may have asked if he was going to sign the ticket, and Argue said no, and Danner just said, well, we're setting a hearing in so-and-so's court for arraignment at such and such a time. And so Danner took action, for example, that had Steve Argue released and had a court hearing set up without his signing anything, which could have been done in your case, right?
That was my, it was among the possibilities, but he decided instead. Barton was so unhappy with the fact that I wouldn't just sign my citation and that I wanted to talk about anything else. I think he actually added some little twist to it.
What was that?
Well, they sent me over to the jail for what the cops had initially indicated to me. They believed it would be the typical kind of book and release thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that isn't what happened. And instead I was kind of left in the holding tank for 5 hours, and then I was taken out of the holding tank and put in an isolation tank for many, 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 many more hours, and then I was brought back to the holding tank, and they started to process me, fingerprint me and stuff, and change their minds and put me back in the tank and let the whole night go by. So it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon when I did this crime of juggling 3 lemons in front of the officer. And it was 6 o'clock the next morning that they let me out of jail.
Wow. Now, could there have been anything in the jail, any interactions with deputies that might have been responsible for maybe some internal decision by the sheriff's department to stop you from being released in a timely manner?
That could be.
Huh. How were you treated by the sheriff's deputies there?
I wasn't much treated. It wasn't much of a treat. No, there was one guy that I don't think he liked me very much. But essentially I was left alone in this cell and left alone in that cell. And in between he growled a little bit. But, you know, I wasn't one of the big events of his evening. He was dealing with other stuff.
Do you think that any of the deputies penalized you in the cell for anything you said or did?
I don't know. I mean, there was this one cop, I told you, that wasn't happy about me. He didn't like me. Uh-huh. But I was not the biggest event of his night.
Why do you say he didn't like you?
Well, it was pretty obvious.
Well, did he spit at you? Did he say, stand over there? Did he say, sit down, you can't stand up? What did he do?
He didn't spit, but it was stuff like that, kind of ordering around.
Did he move you to another cell, perhaps, once he decided he didn't like you?
I was moved to another cell, yeah.
And you think, but you suggested this might have been due to some sort of judicial prior arrangement rather than him. Do you think that, do you have any sense of who was responsible?
I don't know. No, I don't know. I know the judge didn't like me. I know the this guy didn't like me, but it didn't matter. I mean, this is not the important part of any of this story. The thing is, what he did misunderstand was he thought that the most important thing to me was that I get out of there. And so if they're not going to let me out of there, then they're showing me, and then maybe then I'll do right or something like that. But it took me hours in the afternoon to get myself in there. I wasn't all about, hey, I got to be out of jail. Hey, I don't even juggle typically. You know, I went out of my way to go downtown to make myself the one who would test this mistake that the city attorney made. One can only hope that it was foolishness and a mistake. That's the kindest reading I can give this. This wasn't all about. I mean, the 13 hours was crazy. It was absurd. But really, it's going to go on for months. It has already gone on for more than a year. So that little bit of time ain't nothing. I'll do it again.
Well, Steve argues that he's going to show up tomorrow at the Pacific Trading Company and again sit at a table, and if they insist on his taking a ticket after an hour, he won't. He'll go to jail, he says. Perhaps you should, amuse him with a little lemon juggling as he goes to jail.
Oh, Robert, you're really stirring the pot, aren't you? I think I'm going to...
You probably have other commitments, though.
Well, I do. I got a gig. I got to leave town.
Yeah.
Do a gig, come back. I've got... That doesn't preclude the possibility that I'm going to end up juggling on Pacific Avenue again, maybe in the company of some really good jugglers.
You have a court date, too, coming up, right?
I do, but I'm going to try and change that date. As I said, I got a gig, I got to go out of town. Then when I come back, it's like right away is my court date, and I'd rather have a little bit of time when I come back, so I'm going to see if I can...
But right now the date is set for...
July 17th.
That will be probably at 8:30 a.m.?
Mm, yeah, I guess.
Whose courtroom, do we know?
I don't know. How am I supposed to know?
It should say, well, actually, you may have to go down there that day and find out. It's probably going to be either Mulligan, who is the referee in the basement, or one of the two commissioners, Siegel or Joseph. We're talking with Tom Noddy, the criminal juggler who was caught playing with his lemons on Pacific Avenue on Thursday. And who is also, I guess, off to the Oregon Country Fair to do some bubblicious activity up there, and has returned for the... How long was it since you bubbled on the streets of Santa Cruz? It's been a while, right?
Yeah, well, I bubbled the verb when I just kind of like filled the air with bubbles. I've done that during this past year several times, walked down the street bubbling, but that's about all I could do, and that's all I did do this time. I mean, it's just too windy.
I think it was great that you did it, and I think...
My phone is losing its battery, all of a sudden, too.
It could be me retreating from the mic in awe at your willingness to take this stuff, and really, I mean, 13 hours in jail, even this local jail, is no fun. It's very boring. You are at the mercy of these deputies who can do pretty much what they want. And, you wonder, you can really feel your life ticking away in there. That's what at least I remember.
His life ticking away, isn't it?
What the hell am I doing in here? I could be reading a book. You still there?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what do you recommend to prospective jugglers downtown? Now, there was Becky Johnson was making a show of trying to juggle in front of the Pacific Trading Company, and she was doing even worse than you were. I mean, I got to tell you, we need some jugglers down here to advise us in this key time. I mean, or maybe we need the spanking or something. What do you think?
What do I advise jugglers?
What do you advise the community to do about this issue?
Well. pay attention. I mean, it's going to come out in other forms than this one, but this might be the most fun. I mean, I had a good time. You know, I had my puppets. I had my bubbles. I had, you know, some people paying attention. I did a bit of a show. I actually did entertain people, not with my juggling. But, and there may well be other entertainers are going to come to town and entertain us with juggling and other skills on Pacific Avenue. I mean, thus far, you know, since the council started this, since the police, the hosts, and the council joined together, and the merchants joined together in efforts to make us uncomfortable downtown, I think they have contributed to, you know, taking away from the entertainment that happens. But I don't know, and they might ultimately accomplish this if they really stay in this kind of mood. If the community, if the Sentinel doesn't tell the community that this is going on, I mean, once a week they can get a story from part of the Metro about what has happened and what's going on. But they lose track of that if the daily newspaper really is hiding the news like this from them.
Wait a minute, Dan White whiting out the news? What are you saying, Tom?
Absolutely, hiding the news. It's remarkable. I mean.
Tom now is bubbling it up, and for some reason there are no police officers within a radius of half a block. They've all deserted the scene. I can't understand why, because we did have a crime scene here with some criminal juggling going on, and again, there's some folks who are performers who are watching Tom's act. Keeping an eye on it because they themselves don't know what the rules are downtown. The rules are not uniformly enforced or clearly expressed, and the rules that are there seem to be rather oppressive and were opposed by these same performers. Oh, 6 months ago at the Santa Cruz City Council, and we have Sentinel writer Dan White, who has done absolutely nothing on this subject for the last 6 months. Sorry,
Dan.
Yes.
Don't make stuff up, Robert. I really resent that. You know what? You've got no credibility. Leave me alone.
What have you done, Dan, in the last 6 months on this issue?
What have you done ever, Robert?
What have you done on this issue in the last 6 months, Dan? So as you can hear, he has, he's done, I made the statement, he's done nothing in the last six
Robert,
months around the juggling issue.
I really do not appreciate you making slanderous remarks about me. You have no credibility.
Specifically, Dan, what have you done? If it's a slanderous remark, give me the truth to confute it.
What have you ever done? Let's pause it for the community, Robert.
Give me a specific on what you've done around the downtown ordinances recently on the juggling matter, Dan. Anything in the last 6 months. That's all right. You know, I think media coverage is very important. Dan is an amiable fellow, but the problem here is I don't think he's being entirely honest with us here. He's here today, and I'm glad to see him here.
It's fine for you to make up whatever you want, but I'm just trying to do my job, be objective, and be fair, and I'm really tired of you just making stuff up.
If I'm making it up, what's the truth?
Truth is, you have no credibility.
Well, he says I have no credibility, but you should judge for yourself who's more credible. I, who've made the charge, you who've read the newspaper, The Sentinel, or Dan White, who says simply that I'm not credible in terms of saying that he hasn't covered the juggling issue here in Santa Cruz in terms of street performers and police harassment downtown.
If you turn that off for a second, I'd like to talk to you.
After we're finished, sure. We could talk later. Right now we're in the middle of reporting on an event, right? That's part of the report, how the news covers this.
Well, when you make stuff up, I'm going to call you on it, Robert.
Please. I wish you would, and I hope you do. And anyone should.
I do
should.
A fair, balanced job of this. You single-handedly create situations. You single-handedly create media situations. And I'm not intimidated by you, Robert.
I'm not trying to intimidate you. I'm
yes,
looking
you
for,
are.
No, I'm looking for the truth.
By making up lies about me, by making up lies about the coverage, and I could care less. I am not intimidated by
what
you.
What lies,
you will
man.
Not push me around.
What lies? What lies?
Lies that I'm anti-homeless. Lies that I'm against the poor.
I didn't say that today. Although your reporting, I think, reflects that kind of bias, unfortunately. But not. I mean, I don't think you're anti-homeless per se. But you know, you don't include facts that would give people a full perspective.
I'm sure you can broadcast this. This is my personal remarks to you, Robert. But since you have no credibility or no standards, I'm sure you'll broadcast the entire thing. Use your little snippets of it. You do not have my permission to do so at all. I'm talking to you individually.
Well, we're in public, Dan, and I told you that before. But if you want to reply to any of this, I'd be happy to broadcast. I'm going to broadcast the full thing, so you're not going to be cut out.
in the club when they hear it.
And that was Dan White on Thursday, essentially objecting to the fact that I made a sort of a brief comment on, I kind of wondered how he was going to spin the news. I didn't use that word exactly. And, of course, he suppressed it. Now, maybe his editor suppressed it, but, I doubt it. I think Dan gets pretty wide discretion here, and I think he chose not to go into it. Instead, he puffs up the district attorney's ban people downtown story, makes it a front-page story. Even the TV media go around and talk to activists about it. I got interviewed. I got 10 seconds on TV on that issue, and others did too. But Dan White didn't apparently take people up on that issue. Now, perhaps I'm wrong. Perhaps Dan didn't do the ban people from the downtown story for minor offenses that Bob Lee is floating. That's the great liberal Bob Lee we all voted for to get rid of Kate Canlis, remember, the district attorney. Any comments, Ray?
Yeah, come on. Saying that you have no credibility and saying that you've done this all on your own, Robert, you got to give him a hand for that. I mean, he absolutely has no clue as to what's going on downtown.
Interestingly enough, that I continue to say to Dan, the one thing I keep mentioning to him every time I see him, and it's become kind of a litany with me, I didn't mention it this time, I started to, but I didn't get it out, that Dan, in all his stories on homelessness and the debates about civil rights violations or the homeless or the sleeping ban or shelter needs, has never said, never used the statistic, which is generally agreed to, that for homeless people, 8 months of the year, there are less than 39 spaces on the floor. That's space for 39 people out of a population of 1,500 to 2,000 homeless people. And the rest are subject to harassment under the sleeping ban at night. This is a very simple stat. It's not one that's really disputed by anybody that I've heard. But he has refused to put that stat or even some other stat that might dispute that in any of his stories. So I pointed out to him that his failure to do that shows me that when he discusses homeless issues and doesn't mention the realities of people's being criminalized for sleeping at night and having no alternate shelter to go to, even when the Camp Paradise issues were raised, like 2 years ago, this was not brought forward, it shows a bias, a real serious bias. And I challenge Dan White to come on the air and talk about it. I mean, if he wants to defend himself in that matter, I would be more than happy to give him time. I told him that before. Tom Honig, his editor, came on the air. He was willing to come on the air and confront questions. Why not Dan White? Maybe this could be Dan White right now. Let's see if Dan's calling in. Hang on. Hi there. You're on Free Radio.
Hi, Robert.
You're not Dan White.
Get off the phone. I was just calling to let you know that there's a protest going on right now across the street from the Nickelodeon.
What is that about?
It's an anti-Scott Kennedy, Resource Center for Nonviolence protests are saying that the Resource Center is lying about what's going on in Israel.
Oh, okay. I think that one of our old friends, Becky Johnson, may be involved in that, although I think she probably takes a different side than I would on that issue. Well, that's
interesting. She's pro-Scott Kennedy?
No. I think neither of us are pro-Scott Kennedy on many issues, although, we'd take him to a doctor if he were in trouble, probably, but...
Hopefully it'd be Dr. Kevorkian.
No, none of that. So anyway, there's a protest across from the Nickelodeon against the Resource Center for Nonviolence's position on Israel, but it's
they're saying that they're lying about, the sign I saw when I just went by there was that they're distorting the truth. There's a bunch of people gathered, in front of the Red Church on the sidewalk across from the Nickelodeon.
Oh-ho. Well, then folks should check that out if they want. That sounds like
right.
Sounds like. Of course, if they stay for more than an hour, we may have to call Scott Kennedy immediately.
Right.
So keep an eye.
I'm not sure what's going on at the Nickelodeon. If there's some movie about Palestine or something happening there today, there must be something going on there that made these people come out to protest.
Well,
right,
I hope
there.
They don't sit on the lawn of the church. That's criminal behavior. I guess the church ran off guitar players, musicians, drummers, and general sprawlers last year. as part of the clean up the downtown area, and I also met one guy who got a ticket for being in a drug area. Apparently that area is a drug area, or it was a year and a half ago.
Well, you know, a lot of the old, because a lot of the people that go to church are old people, and a lot of those old people take a lot of drugs.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, if you ever go into any old person's house and look in their medicine cabinet, usually they have, like, an array of drugs that they take daily.
So perhaps they should start ID checking and, you know, blood testing the older folks downtown for drug abuse? You know?
I think so, yeah.
You know, I think that's a rather kind of far-seeing idea, Scott. But we're not talking to Scott Kennedy, by the way. This is Scott Graham, right?
Right.
Well, I was just handed a piece of paper by my on-the-ball co-host here, or co-guest, or whatever. Resource Center for Nonviolence presents Gaza Strip, a film by James Longley, one show only, 12 o'clock, Sunday, June 19th, Nickelodeon. So apparently this is a protest. Proceeds of this benefit, the Palestinian Center for Human Rights in the Gaza Strip, $5 to $25 donation. Tickets available at Nickelodeon Resource Center. For more information on Gaza Strip, visit www.littleredbutton.com/Gaza or www.rcnv.org. Or you can call the Resource Center at 423-1626.
Uh-huh.
So apparently it is the film Gaza Strip that's prompting this. I would like to see both Scott Kennedy and the local Zionist opposition involve themselves in civil rights for poor people here in Santa Cruz. And I think I know at least Becky Johnson is doing that. I don't know about anybody else. So.
Well, you know, as with most of the politicians here in town, they find it much easier to get involved in politics that they have nothing to do with when it actually falls in their lap. I mean, most of them are fascist.
Oh, now, how can you call Scott Kennedy a fascist?
Just watch him at the city council meetings and you'll find out.
You mean just because he told someone that if he mentioned Mike Rodkin's name before the mic, he would be evicted from the council meeting, that makes him a fascist?
Right.
Oh, for heaven's sake. There are limits. You know, Ed Porter has decorum, Fitzmaurice has decorum rules, and you're singling out poor Scott Kennedy.
Well, I'm talking about all, I said politicians. You're the one that made it Scott Kennedy. I'm saying the local politicians find it very easy to, you know, decide what's right and wrong in other parts of the world. But when it comes to local issues, when the local issues land in their lap, they all become fascist.
Well, I think you're just obviously a cynical man who has been led astray in many subjects.
So. I guess so.
Yes. Well, thank you for the update, though.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. We're zipping into the last 35 minutes. I'm going to play a little more of the naughty bubble-blowing activity, and then we're going to actually move to an instance of police harassment downtown, which I saw on videotape, part of it, actually. What we have is an incident from the 24th of June, which I guess was... I think that was Wednesday. Let's see, today is the 29th. Maybe it was Tuesday. I guess it was Tuesday. This has to do with a certain man named Officer Brandt, Officer Willie Brandt. You may know him downtown. He is an officer who, he has an Australian or English accent. He used to walk around with a German Shepherd dog, our fellow officer, up and down the mall until we made so much fuss about it that apparently they decided that it looked good in 1943 Berlin, but it didn't play so well on the Santa Cruz of 1998. In any case,
I'll make exit.
Ray wants to say goodbye. Thanks for coming, Ray.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, too, you know, most of the people that are listening to Free Radio are already pretty well clued in. But make sure that you tell your family, tell your friends, tell all the people you go to school with, whatever, to come on downtown, because you know what? Being an activist is a lot of fun. And though it's a beautiful day and I could think of lots of other better things to do, you know, come on downtown, bring your camcorders, bring your recording devices and your cameras, and the next time the cops try and tell you to move along, refuse and take their picture, because, you know, there's nothing they hate more than when you start taking your picture and you start being responsible for your own actions. They can't tolerate that. So if enough people come down, you know, maybe we might be able to change things in Santa Cruz. That's all. Ray out.
Hey, Ray. Thank you very much. So, yeah, come down tomorrow at 5, and you'll see a video of some of this stuff. You'll be able to actually watch police in action on the avenue. You'll be able to see it, of course, just by walking down the avenue. But in case you don't happen to be present when they're engaging in their frequent harassment of people for minor, essentially innocent behavior, but behavior that merchants have given the police the power to criminalize through the city council and through the city manager's office. So, you might want to check that out. I was mentioning Officer Brandt. Officer Brandt apparently came upon Becky Johnson on the 24th, and he was. You get to hear this dialogue. You really have to see it on video, although some of this videotape is not viewable because Becky, intimidated by Officer Brandt, turned her camera down. You hear Brandt threatening Johnson. Let's hear it, actually, the soundtrack from the video. Still working on the soundtrack here. While I'm working on that, let's hear a little more of the naughty lemon juggling after Dan White has had his say.
We're here, still watching the, ready for the police to arrive to arrest a criminal juggler or the media to note the discrepancies in selective enforcement. You can read in tomorrow's Sentinel whether such things actually appear, or in tomorrow's, you know, Mercury News, or in tomorrow's Metro. You know, see how much the story is either suppressed or spun. That's the question. I think the law is a lemon, and Tom here is juggling three lemons now, up and down. Maybe I should make a citizen's arrest. I should demand to make a citizen's arrest.
This is fine. If they don't cite, then I assume that they won't be citing other jugglers because that would be a clear case of selective enforcement.
Selective enforcement in Santa Cruz?
The police witnessed this. The downtown host saw it and responded with no comment. What would you think, Dan? Okay.
I had a conversation with him when he was away.
And I think there's 4 or 5 of them. Actually, I wanted that.
There's a little hole there.
Kim, you, me, and Larry were all thinking of Gretel and Helen.
Here, some performers who are watching the scene. What's your name, sir?
My name is Justin.
And, Justin, what kind of performing do you do?
I bang on hunks of wood known as marimbas.
Aha, one of the infamous marimba gang that has been seen trying to play in questionable locations and for strange amounts of time and possibly in... Well, I probably had excessive volumes downtown.
Yes. We don't talk about the excessive volumes, though.
Yeah. Well, good enough. Now, how have the police been treating you? I know that there was a concern 6 months ago when you folks came to City Council, when we folks came to City Council and talked about the issue.
Yes. The police, we haven't been down that much, but it's time. We're coming back. And, you know, winter and stuff don't play that much. But last time we played last week, didn't even see any police. The time before, there were 7 police standing around watching us the entire time we played.
And this was, we're talking last year? Or
What, 6 months ago? 4 months ago? When the police hung out? That might have been because...
I guess the war started. When there was the parallel presence of the peace group on the corner there.
Yes. That was probably early March, or
yes.
Maybe mid-March,
yes.
Actually.
Yes.
Now, have you not come down because of your, because of other commitments, or because of your lack, because of apprehensions about the police, or some other factors?
Not really apprehension because of the police. We've had apprehension, but we've decided to come anyway, and that hasn't stopped us yet, and hopefully won't ever stop us. But it will be hard to come down and continue to play if we get harassed.
But you haven't been here in the last 4 or 5 months?
Once. Last week, and there was no police presence at all.
So we can say, in all fairness, that the police on that occasion didn't harass you. How long did you play for?
2 hours.
Okay. Well, there you are. You weren't moved along after 2 hours. What, you got some special deal with the police?
That's a good question.
Maybe they're busy doing things that deserve enforcement.
Probably. So, like, harassing peace activists up the street. or perhaps jugglers down the street. Because I understand that this whole demonstration comes from a fact that Officer Bechtel, on complaint from host Avery, gave the Karamazov brothers, or somebody who was doing juggling.
A young juggler. It was not a Karamazov brother.
I have his name. I read the email. It starts with a C.
I don't know.
Yeah. But he was told to move on, and he couldn't juggle. He couldn't balance something on his nose.
windows, and he couldn't use ride a unicycle.
That's what I heard as well.
And that was Officer Bechtel, CSO Bechtel, enforcing a complaint from a merchant, a resident, from a host, part of the police force. So the police force is enforcing its own sensibilities downtown, at least it looked like in that case.
Yes, yeah, they do that, being the humans that they are. They seem to, whatever concerns them at the moment. I can understand, but it makes things a little kind of weird when there are ordinances that are passed that, sort of give them more leeway in case they're feeling uncomfortable, then they can use them. I understand them getting uncomfortable from time to time, but if the ordinance just didn't let them do that in the first place, it wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, the question is why these ordinances when there was no problem with performers, and in fact, even the problems that they were citing last summer had to do more with vandalism, violence, sexual harassment, didn't much to do with, drug, open and inappropriate drug usage or sales,
mm-hmm.
Although some people think that anybody who sells an ounce of marijuana to anybody else is inappropriate. I frankly don't agree with that. I know maybe the minority position, but still, nonetheless, I will take that revolutionary stand. Maybe revolutionary 40 years ago, one wonders why it's revolutionary today. Mamma mia. So, what's next? Are these? I recognize one performer here, but we have three performers? Or
no, not a performer.
Yeah.
A girlfriend.
Aha!
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to engage in any questionable activities downtown in a public place, alarming the horses?
We might just work on it.
An anonymous reporter slinking up, who's going to try to draw aside one of the more responsible performers to talk to them.
And that, of course, was Sarah Phelan of the Metro, who has done some reporting on this issue, but who seemed to maintain a kind of a jolly solidarity, or actually somewhat sort of censorious solidarity with Dan White, who, again, seemed to take a very... asked numerous questions of Tom Noddy. You can't hear him asking questions, because I was afraid if I went over and tape-recorded what the questions were, it would queer Tom's ability to get any kind of even apparent coverage from Dan White. But as you can see, Dan White did nothing with any of the information in any timely way in terms of Tom's issues or Tom's arrest, which is really a pity because it's very newsworthy. And it's just sort of sad that he took no action on this issue, but typical of Dan White. I've been able to gear up the videotape. Again, we're going to be hearing some activity down on the mall. You'll be able to see this video tomorrow at 5 o'clock in front of the Pacific Trading Company when we'll be having an on-the-street video presentation. Everyone's invited, including the Heinrichs and Candy Jackson and any of the 7 or 8 police officers who may be hanging around in order to make sure that we don't spend more than an hour there, for God's sake. Okay, so here we go with a little of the soundtrack of that video. Again, you're going to be hearing some stuff, street interviews, and then you'll hear Becky refer to Officer Brandt.
Am I 14 feet or not? I think I am. I really didn't count.
Yeah, well, the squares are 2x2, so...
Uh-huh. So, figure it out for myself, or you're...
As long as you're 8 squares away, then you're fine. Hi.
Okay. I'll check on that. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Cynthia, you're the author of the move-along law. Thank you so much for time, place, and manner limiting our free speech to 1 hour on 24-hour day. Hey, hi, we're with Ali, formerly somebody else. Okay, and you witnessed something on Elm Street yesterday?
Yeah, Elm Street feeds on the avenue once a week, and Julie Hendy from the redevelopment agency approached one of the people that was running Elm Street that day and confronted him about feeding on the avenue, and
was telling him how the community didn't want people feeding on the avenue, and there's plenty of other places to do it, and how his organization is ruining family businesses, and it's not just corporations, it's family-owned businesses, and just it was horrible. We were all sitting there watching her stick her foot in her mouth. Uh-huh. It was frightening.
Did she say she was from the redevelopment agency, or
I don't remember
herself?
If she identified herself or not. Uh-huh. She definitely was trying to convince him not to be there, but Elm Street didn't really do anything. They were just like, okay, whatever. I mean, he explained that they'd been doing it for years. They have been. Elm Street's been there, for years and years, as long as I can remember. I was pretty little. I remember seeing it down there when I was really little.
And would you say the need to feed is greater or less than it was years ago?
I don't know. It's getting, a lot of places are considering shutting down, like St. Francis is losing a lot of the support they used to have.
The need.
It's increasing because a lot of places are not being able to feed anymore. Potter's Hand stopped a few months ago feeding on Thursday nights buying logos. Mm-hmm. There's just not as much support for the poor community in Santa Cruz as there used to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, I look at Officer Brant in his ordinary clothing.
That is the only good support.
My photograph.
In public space.
I don't care. It's my personal thing. You do not take my photograph.
I get mine taken too. I'm sorry.
So what? I got interested in you and I wasn't talking to you.
You're in a public space, Officer Brant.
I'm not Officer Brant. I'm not working. Look, see this? I'm not working. I don't want you taking my photograph anymore. I don't like it. It's a personal thing of me, and I don't like it. I'm telling you I don't want you to take it anymore. If I come down here after you and you take my photograph again, I'm going to find some reason and some way to take you to court for it.
Sounds like a threat.
That's not a threat.
The problem we have here is blocking people from walking across the sidewalk. You need to get over to one side, maybe?
So we're obstructing the sidewalk? Is that? I mean, we're more than 14 feet from a crosswalk, and there's adequate room to get around on either side. And I think we're conforming. If you could show us where we're not conforming.
There is an adequate room to get around on either side.
Well, I understand. But you're talking common sense. I'm talking what the law says. The law says 14 feet from a building, 14 feet from an intersection. And not blocking. Could you walk all the way around me, please, Gabe, right to right? Please walk all the way around me. See if you're blocked in any way.
Over there a second ago, there was a woman sitting down right there. But you didn't want to show her.
That was Becky Johnson fending off the two CSOs who apparently came up after Officer Brant came up to threaten Becky Johnson, which he's done before with other individuals on the street. He was threatening Joe Williams about 2.5 months ago when I was given a ticket for chalking Stop the War in the Street. He and Joe Williams was trying to video the scene. Brant walked up and with about 2 or 3 inches from his face and began almost ranting at him in his sort of loud, authoritarian voice as to what he expected of him, and that he didn't want to be photographed and so forth. And for a police officer who has a license to carry a gun even off duty, as I understand it, I could be wrong about the Santa Cruz police, but most police departments have that option. This can be a very intimidating thing, particularly Officer Brant, who's what, 5'10", 5'11", maybe 6 feet tall, not sure. And Becky Johnson, for example, who is, well, not for example, but indeed is, what? Between 5'5", she's very short. They have this officer looming over you, talking down to you in a threatening tone of voice, threatening to come back when he's on duty and find ways to deal with you. You know, I mean, this isn't just something you complain to the police department about. You complain to the DA about this, and you try to get a restraining order from this kind of character downtown. A police officer, above all, has to know that it is legal for people to photograph him in public. It just simply is. Now, if someone's blowing his undercover in some way when he's in the middle of an activity, I suppose that might can be construed as obstructing justice. But just because he's a civilian when he's off duty, supposedly, although he has special rights that civilians don't have and special powers, doesn't mean he can't be photographed like everybody else. And the fact is the police are videoing us day and night. The Pacific Trading Company and Jackson's Shoes are videoing us on and on. And here's Becky Johnson getting this kind of harassment from the police. Well, you'll be able to see that tomorrow at 5 o'clock if you come down to the Pacific Trading Company. Or you can come down at 1 and do some tabling, some picketing, some boycotting, some informing the public of your desire to have a public space downtown for a plaza, for sitting, for musicians, for performers, for folks generally. That's what we're all about. We're trying to transform Santa Cruz back to something that to some extent it used to be when we had a Pacific Garden Mall, and something hopefully it will be in the future. So we're getting close to the end of the hour, the end of the 3.5 hours actually, but I want to play for you before we go Emily Riley at City Council and the oral communications crackdown that happened a week ago, Tuesday night at City Council. First, you're going to hear Emily Riley reading the decorum rules. Then you're going to hear her speaking at oral communications, where she actually gets up from her chair, butts into the front of the line, speaks at oral communications before anyone else, and then goes back to her chair and starts interrupting speakers she doesn't agree with during the oral communications period. This can be very, very threatening, and that's how I perceived it. I was very upset to see this happen. I mean, it's happened to me before. I regularly get, cranky when this kind of thing happens, and I think properly indignant. But this, I thought, was carrying things to a new level. It happened after I filed a Brown Act request, which had to do with them shutting my mic down for saying, "We have a man arrested downtown for wearing a 'fuck the police' sign in his hat." When I used that, made that sentence to City Council, which is an informative sentence, they shut me down. She wanted me to leave the mic or shut up. She had the cameras turned off me because I took off my shirt and showed another shirt underneath that said, "Fuck the police," to demonstrate this is what the man was doing and getting ticketed for by the police department downtown. That you cannot have a free society where police are free to engage in this kind of harassment, where the City Council backs up that kind of abuse and violation of constitutional right. So we're going to hear now that City Council meeting, and you can form your own conclusions. This is City Council meeting at evening session, 7 o'clock, Tuesday night. As soon as we find the proper tape here. Sorry about the slowdown here. Here we go.
Communications is your opportunity to address the City Council on items that are not on the agenda. Presentations are limited this evening to 3 minutes, and priority, as usual, is given to individuals who did not speak at the previous meeting's oral communications. Individuals may not speak more than once during oral communications. And we remind you that all speakers address the entire City Council. We do not engage in dialogue. The reason for that is that we publicly notice items on our agenda so that everyone in the community has an opportunity to be engaged in the discussion. So although you may bring us ideas this evening that we occasionally ask questions about or give direction on, we don't take action on them, although they may sometimes be agendized for a later meeting. Public testimony this evening will be translated into Spanish. Please remember to speak slowly so that the translator has adequate time to translate. The translator for this meeting is Mercedes Sheldon, I think. Is Mercedes here? I didn't see her. We haven't seen her yet. Okay, so I'll when she comes in, I'll ask her to introduce herself so that you know who she is. Okay. Now, before we begin oral communications, I've had a couple of questions from people in the community asking what the rules of decorum are. in city council chambers. And so I thought that this evening I would read them. I've talked to the city attorney about it, and I think the thing that I hear most often from people in the community is their concern about this chambers being a place that's safe for people to come and speak up. And that, of course, is the basis for the decisions that we made about what the rules of decorum in the council chambers would be. The Brown Act anticipates that the council need not suffer disturbances which disrupt a meeting, and that it may eject those persons who are disrupting its meeting. In addition to that, the Brown Act provides that if a meeting cannot be restored to order by removing disruptive individuals, then the chamber can be cleared. So before we go any further tonight, I thought it would be worthwhile to review the rules of decorum, which we ask both members of the public and members of the City Council and staff to observe during council meetings. These rules pertain to both the oral communications portion of the council meeting, as well as to deliberations regarding matters on our agenda. Our decorum and council meeting rule reads as follows, and I'm going to read it so I don't forget. While the council is in session, all persons shall preserve order and decorum. Any person making personal, impertinent, or slanderous remarks or becoming boisterous shall be barred by the presiding officer from further attendance at said meeting until permission is continued attendance is granted by a majority vote of the council. Every member of the public and every council member desiring to speak shall address the presiding officer. Oh, I like that part. And upon recognition by the presiding officer, shall confine comments to the question under debate, avoiding all indecorous language and references to personalities, and abiding by the following rules of civil debate. 1, we may disagree, but we will be respectful of one another. 2, all comments will be directed to the issue at hand. 3, personal attacks should be avoided. I would ask that all of us, including council members, make a sincere effort to keep these rules in mind while participating and observing the council meeting. We would specifically request that members of the public addressing the city council during a council meeting use appropriate language and refrain from the use of profanity, racial epithets, and other language which is commonly considered offensive and rude. Our goal as a city council is to make our city council chambers a place where people feel comfortable and are encouraged to participate in the public process. We know from communications with many city residents that when these rules of decorum are not adhered to, many people elect not to participate in or even observe on television city council meetings. We ask that city council meeting participants observe these rules not only out of respect for those other people who are present at the city council meeting, but also for the many people in the city, including children, who watch our meetings on television. Thank you very much for your cooperation. So now we'll begin oral communications, and before the first person comes forward, I'm going to address the council.
And Ed's got his finger on the trigger.
Yeah, that's for that language.
You have your finger on the microphone. Yeah. Since I got here first, so I'm gonna go first. Thank you. I wanted to say that this afternoon.
Could you identify yourself for the public,
yes,
please?
Yes. My name's Emily Riley. I live on King Street. And I wanted to say that this afternoon I was walking on Pacific Avenue, and I was sort of wandering in and out of shops because I like to. And when I went into Pacific Trading Company today, where I shop regularly, I was so surprised at the change in the tone of the employees who work in there. Usually when I go in, I'm greeted immediately, effusively and enthusiastically, and by people who know me and by people who don't. Today, the tone was very different. People were demoralized, dejected, and it reminded me of the way my employees, the people I work with, felt a couple of years ago when we were targeted because of something unpopular that I had done. And unfortunately, I wasn't the one who had to pay the price for that. My employees were the ones. And I believe that part of the tone of what's going on around Pacific Trading Company right now is because of an action that we took and because of some changes that we directed and allowed to be made to the planter. People are, in a very mean-spirited way, targeting Pacific Trading Company and encouraging people not to go in there. I heard very mean, what I would call very mean and rude comments made to people who were walking past. So I just wanted to say to the community and to all of you that I think it's unfair to target any business like that, and particularly hard on the employees. It's a difficult economic time. It's the beginning of our summer season here. I want to celebrate downtown. I saw Pacific Avenue this weekend being a fabulous, exciting, energetic place to be, and I want to encourage all of you to please visit our downtown stores and buy things. And that's my comments. Thank you.
Yeah, please.
Okay, thank you. Anna Brooks. I actually decided recently to step back from the mic for a bit, but I was here for another reason, and a couple of things just keep knocking at the back of my teeth. I was here months ago, and my only reason was to hang out with and support my friend.
This is Anna Austin, Brooks,
whom I
who,
really miss and who
took us
I
to court for a peaceful lobbying effort at the mayor's office. She was the mayor's secretary.
That there is no truth.
This is
perception,
sort of an unplanned part of this particular agenda. She's sort of more of a, to me, an awkward embarrassment at City Council.
And
she's going to be singing for you a Phil Oakes tune, which is the ultimate irony, since Phil Oakes was concerned about abuses of people in power, and she is, in fact, a toady and an apologist for people in power.
Two, I live, play, and work downtown. So when those issues came up, I started wondering if there was anything that I could do as an individual, because I'm not much of a joiner. Well, I still smoke, but now I don't really smoke much on the mall anymore. I try to be even more considerate as a pedestrian than I have always tried to be, because there are a lot of blankety-blank pedestrians.